Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends, and welcome to another Sunday morning. And we are streaming from our home because of the weather conditions. And I just want to say at the outset here that Grace's broadcast was flawless, and we are praying that ours will be as likewise. If not, you will be able to hear the full message on our website later on, so not to worry. But God bless you for being here. And at this time, I'm going to have my lovely wife come in and give us our announcements and our offertory prayer.
Good morning, Valley Brook. Good morning, Valley Brook and friends, and welcome. We want to give a special welcome to all of our first-time viewers this morning. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. If you would, click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us to pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab, or also on the streaming tab in our website, and we will be sure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and the access code are listed on our website's homepage, as well as in today's bulletin. Confirmation vote. Our membership vote to confirm the appointment of Grace White to the Valley Brook Board of Elders will take place at 12:15 p.m. today. Valley Brook members can access the Zoom link from our website, which is located at valleybrook.church. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our giving tab or by mailing it to our office address as listed on the back of the bulletin. Outreach efforts. This coming Saturday, February the 13th, is our next Outreach 2020 mission to the homeless, and we plan to deliver another 100 blessing bags that will include winter items. There are three ways you can help this effort. One, please pray for the success of our mission and for the disadvantaged population. Two, donate. Any amount will help. The giving section of the VBCC website has a drop-down menu to directly contribute to the church's community outreach. And third, write a short note, a prayer, a Bible verse, or words of encouragement on a note card or index card to be included in the blessing bags. See the bulletin for information on where to send the note cards and the deadline date as to when they are needed. Employment opportunities. You may find some employment information listed in our bulletin this morning. Access to our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. But first, birthdays, our birthdays for February. February the 1st, our esteemed Chris Mills, who helps us every Sunday to come to you on Sunday mornings. Thank you, Chris, and happy birthday. February the 5th, George Brown II. February 10th, Janello Clue. February 10th also, Roger Stewart III. February 13th, Keith Sinclair. Our Valentine's Day birth baby fell on February 14th, Alberta Hall. February 21st, Lisa Orton. February 22nd, Vivian Cheeseborough. February 23rd, Marty Claxton, February 24th, Catalaya Ingram, and February 26th, Clinton Scott. We wish you all a happy birthday this month. And we're grateful to the Lord for your birthdays this month. And now our scripture reading. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Psalm 20. Psalm 20. And I give you a few moments just to take a look into your Bibles for that. Again, that's Psalm 20. And I'll be reading from NIV. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and will lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. Let us pray. Holy Father God, we just come thanking you again, Father. We're thanking you, Holy Father, right now for the vaccination that was able to expeditiously be developed, Lord, to help us to fight this pandemic that has stricken the whole world, God. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray for every soul that has been lost to it, Lord. We pray for their families that you give them the strength and the comfort needed for such a horrendous disease and virus. But God, we look forward now with a little bit more optimism as we go forward, Lord, is thanking you, God, for giving man and woman the wisdom to develop vaccines, God, that can help us, that can help us, Lord, to continue. And Father, we just come thanking you for today, for being able to see today, for being ready, Lord, to hear your word. So we pray for Pastor Dan, God. I pray that you speak through him in a way that each and every one of us know that you are speaking directly to us. Let it touch our souls, let it touch our hearts, Lord, in a way, Lord, that helps us to go through today as well as the rest of the week. As we face our fears and anxieties around all the happenings in our home, communities, jobs in the world, they all impact us, Lord, because you made us in the world one big family. So we all have to plan and think and care about loving one another. So I thank you, Lord, for also what you're doing, for what Satan would make evil, God, you will make good. We look forward to it. We know we can trust you for it. We can depend on you. So right now, Father, we thank you for the offerings that will come in for today. We thank you for the offerings that will come in for the blessing bags for the homeless. We thank you, Lord, that this outreach is something you've given us, Lord, as to fulfill your purposes. And we pray that the rest of the offerings collected, that we will continue to use them for your purposes. So Father, we also ask that as we do these things, as we go about our day, that we come to know you better, that we come to love one another more, and that we come clearer toward all of the blessings and gifts you've given us, and then allow us to spread them, Lord, amongst one another. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again, Valley Brook family. It's again great to be with you. And why don't we give the Lord a hand where you are? We're bringing us into another month. It's the first Sunday in February. And as we do when we're all together and as we do all the time, we thank the Lord for just his faithfulness to bring us to another month. I would like to say before we begin our message, for those of you who know our dear sister Francine Owens, she was a member of our church a long time ago and then more recently, but her husband Kevin passed away this past week, and so we are going to continue to keep them in our prayers. I've called her and extended to her our support in whatever way we can offer it to her. But Francine is a dear, dear sister and a friend for many years of mine and of many of us at Valley Brook. And so your prayers and your cards and your support in any way that you can think of that the Lord lays on your heart to offer to her and to her two kids would be most appreciated. Today's message is titled, Where the Fruit Comes From. Where the Fruit Comes From. And I want to first of all say thanks to Grace for encouraging us last week to let someone hold our mule for us for a while we praise the Lord. Because indeed, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We cannot praise him enough. You know, this is Super Bowl Sunday, as you know. It's the biggest single sports day of the year here in the United States. And I always think it's great. I'm always satisfied when the winning coach or the winning quarterback in the post-game interview says, I want to thank God. I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I always appreciate that shout out to the Lord. But I really like to, at one time or another, I'd really like to see the losing coach or the losing quarterback, when they are interviewed after the game, say, first of all, I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because God is always faithful. Win or lose, God is always faithful. At our couples group yesterday, Michael Yakey said something in passing that I noted. And by the way, Frank and Deidre, thank you again for a wonderful couples group on a subject that can be kind of squishy, but you did it with such aplomb that we all felt comfortable and enjoyed one another so tremendously. But Michael said something that I took note of. He said, I've lived a full life. I've lived a full life. And I know from firsthand observation, because I've known Michael for more than 30 years, 40 years actually. And I know that he was not talking about a perfect life when he said he's lived a full life. I know that it has been a life that has not been free from adversity. I know that his and Saray's lives have not been lives that have been free from tragedy, but I also know that he meant what he said when he said it was a full life, because I know that he is aware of the blessings of the Lord. As the song we were listening to before we began this morning's message said, where would I be if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord? So I know he meant what he said, and I know he's aware of the blessings of the Lord despite the losses. And I can speak from my own experience that some of my biggest losses, and I've had some big ones, But some of my biggest losses have resulted in the most valuable gains of my entire life. Gains that continue to pay dividends as time goes on. So praise the Lord for wins. Praise the Lord for losses. You see, no one wants to lose. I certainly don't want to lose. Any game that I'm playing to win. But in the Lord, even when there are setbacks, we are never losers because He is our champion, and in Him we are always victorious. I have not liked all the episodes and all the chapters of my life, not by a long shot, but I can honestly say to you today, on this February 7th, that the unfolding of my life story, as it has unfolded over time, has revealed to me and has confirmed for me in my heart of hearts that God is faithful. It's confirmed His faithfulness. It's confirmed His love. It's confirmed His wisdom. It's confirmed His otherworldly creativity. It's just been amazing to see how He has redeemed the worst of things. And it leaves me wondering, how does He do that? Amazing. The unnamed psalmist who penned Psalm 106 asked this question: Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? My answer to that is not me. I certainly can't. I share a message with you every Sunday. I write 3 devotionals a week. I teach a Bible study on Thursday night. I've written an entire 20-unit adult Sunday school curriculum consisting of more than 80 lessons. And I am speaking throughout the week about the goodness of the Lord. And I feel still deep in my heart and in my being that there's even more I could be sharing. And I'm not the only writer that's been caught up in the wonders of His glory. Another writer put it this way: Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, and the triumphs of His grace. Now, I know the brother who penned those words, our brother Charles Wesley, I know he would be the first to admit, if he were with us today, that he knows deep in his heart that even if he had 1,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough. So praise the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We cannot fully express His praise in answer to the psalmist's question. We cannot fully express it, but the more we are in touch with our great Redeemer's praise, the more our lives will reflect His glory. And that brings us to our text for this morning. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 7, verse 4, and I am reading this from the New American Standard Bible. Romans 7, verse 4. As we look at this subject, where the fruit comes from. Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. There's several things that I want to bring out from this text here, which is a small passage that packs a punch. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to Him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is it says that through faith in Christ, we die to the performance code required by the law. So if you're taking notes, that's our first point. Through faith in Christ, we die to the performance code required by the law. through our faith in Christ, we die to the performance code required by the law. See, Paul's point in the first four chapters, he uses marriage as an illustration, but his larger point is this: the law has jurisdiction over us as long as we're alive. But when we die, the law no longer has jurisdiction over us. The law doesn't have jurisdiction over a dead person. And that's why when people die in prison, they turn the body over to the family. It's like, we don't have any more jurisdiction here. There's nothing more to be done. This person is dead. So the scripture tells us that when you die, the law does not have any jurisdiction. Now, in this twist in the story, we didn't die. Jesus died for us. But in identifying with his death, we too die to the jurisdiction of the law so that we can now be raised like Christ to a new life that consists of a different orientation towards God. Let's talk a little bit more about this. This death to the law, this includes dying to the Ten Commandments, as well as the ceremonial laws. When Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, what are the greatest commandments in the law? Which two are the greatest? Which are the greatest ones? And he mentioned two of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, he said. There are no commandments greater than these. So he identifies two of the Ten Commandments as part of the law. And I say that because some people will say, we don't have to follow the ceremonial laws, but we have to follow the Ten Commandments now in order to stay on God's good side. He still means for us to follow them Ten Commandments or else. So the question is, do we have to follow the Ten Commandments if we have died to the jurisdiction of the law? And the answer is no. And the answer is yes. No, because we have a greater righteousness in Christ than our performance could ever give us. As far as performing for righteousness, as far as performing for God's acceptance, as far as performing in a way that earns his favor, no, we do not have to keep the Ten Commandments because Christ has performed for us. But yes, on the other hand, because God still wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he still wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, this commandment is carried over into the new covenant on many occasions. So what has changed between the jurisdiction of the law and not being under the jurisdiction? What has changed is God's approach. His approach to seeing those commandments realized has changed. His methodology has changed. And hence we have what's called the new covenant, a new way of doing things, a new way of producing the results he desired to have in the first place. He didn't change who he was. He didn't change his standard. He changed his approach. He changed his methodology. And now it says, after we've died to the law and its jurisdiction, the new approach is to be joined to Christ, which we will look at in just a moment. So I was thinking about this week, and I said, thank you, Lord, for revealing your gospel to us, for revealing the new covenant to us. Let me share something with you that I was thinking about this week related to this. It's from Psalm 26, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I want you to hear something. I want you to hear the basis on which David is appealing to God for God's favor. I want you to listen to this. He says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. Now, most of us wouldn't dare say that, would we? But David says it boldly. I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. I can't say that. Can you say that? Of course not. Test me, O Lord, he says, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Fail again on those points. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. Sometimes I am a hypocrite. What are you talking about? I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence, and I go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes, but I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. Now, you know why I share this? It's because God said David was a man after his own heart. But we also know in Romans that no one is justified by the works of the law. So what's going on here? David didn't understand what we understand. The gospel, the scripture says, had not been revealed. So he didn't understand. There was no new covenant. And it certainly hadn't been revealed at his time. With what was available to David, with what he understood, he approached it by faith. He approached it with an affection towards the Lord. And you can't read the Psalms, you can't read this approach to see that David was talking about something more than just, I'm doing all of this. His faith was in the Lord. Even in this Psalm, he talks about trusting in the Lord. Even in this Psalm, he says he's rejoicing in the Lord, and his faith was in God, even as he was trying to do what he understood God required. So what was available to him, what he understood, he approached it with affection, and that affection is instructive to all of us. And I believe that's why the Lord said David was a man after his own heart, because he had such bubbling over affection for his Lord. And his approach to his faith, his approach to the law was full of life. It wasn't dead, ritualistic. He was not guilty of what the Lord said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. No, David's was full of life. His heart was in it. His desire was for the Lord. The Psalms ooze with this passion for God. The sacrifices that he made were not just stale sacrifices. They were a means to knowing and worshiping the Lord. As he sought the Lord personally, he didn't just, when they captured the ark, as we read about in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, when they recaptured the ark and were bringing it back from the Philistines, when they recaptured the ark, he didn't just bring back the ark. He danced in the processional, so much so that his wife was embarrassed for him. But he said, I'm going to keep on dancing. So you see the heart behind what was going on with David. He didn't just offer sacrifices. He did it with praises, and he did it with singing. And that's what he said. I'm going to offer sacrifices with shouts of joy and singing and praising. So we see the spirit of David, and God saw the spirit of David. David wasn't trusting in himself. He was exalting in his God, whom he trusted, in whose love for him he trusted. He was unabashedly extra, if you will, in his approach to the Lord. And that's what God saw, and that's what God wanted. Unfortunately, most of God's people didn't have that. And so God said, I've got to do something different here. This law thing, it's a good idea. It's a righteous idea. The law is perfect, but they're not doing so good. So I'm going to do a new covenant. I'm going to give you a new spirit and put a new heart in you. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to do this differently. I'm going to have you die to the law, and I'm going to have you joined to me in a different methodology for accomplishing the righteousness, for bearing the fruit that I intended for you to bear in the first place. So that brings us, well, I want to say this. So David was he was righteous in his heart, but the righteousness that he relied upon was inferior to what has been revealed to us. His was based on adherence to the law. We died to the law. Our righteousness is based on trusting in Christ as the fulfillment of the law on our behalf. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. And in fulfilling it by living a perfect life, as we put our faith in him, we too are accredited as being righteous, the righteousness of Christ, as though we ourselves had performed because of what Christ has done. So that brings us to the second thing this passage says. We are no longer under the jurisdiction of the law. We died to the performance code required by the law. And the second thing is this: we are now joined to another, it says. We're joined to him who was raised from the dead. So we're joined to another. Excuse me. Joined to Christ. You know, a growing awareness, as I was speaking earlier about who can declare his praise, a growing awareness of how awesome our Lord is one of the blessings of belonging to him. And that's what I've titled this month's series. It's titled the Blessing of Belonging to Him, which is, you know, it's often termed stewardship. That's a familiar phrase that goes along with what we're going to be talking about this month. But sometimes stewardship, you know, it can sound like we're giving God something that we owe him. And it sounds like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to give this to you, God. But in truth, he's given us something far more valuable, far more precious than anything that we're giving him. Because what he's given us is the knowledge of himself, the knowledge of himself. And he's giving us this knowledge through our personal connection with him. The scripture says for us that our job is to present our bodies to him. In Romans 6:13, it says, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have, listen to this, been brought from death to life. When we died to the jurisdiction of the law, but now we've been brought to life. So here's what we do. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. It's an honor that the Lord even wants to be bothered with our bodies at all. These old rickety, short-circuited things, what in the world does he even want to do with them? And so when I think about my body, when I think about offering my body to God, I ask myself, Dan, can you think of anything better to do with your body? Can you think of anything better yourself, with your own imagination, your own ingenuity, your own intelligence, your own creativity and all of that? Do you really think that you can do anything better than presenting your body to your Creator, to the one who died to redeem this body, to the one who purchased it with his own blood, to the one who knows me inside and out, who knows me better than I know myself, who knows me fully? Present your bodies. In Romans 12, it says, do this in view of God's mercy, in view of what he's done to claim you as his own, in view of the fact that he wants you to belong to him. Surrender your body, present your body to him. All that he's done to demonstrate his love, all that he's done to demonstrate his wisdom, all that he's done to demonstrate his power and his trustworthiness. Can you think of a wiser thing to do with your body? I think it's rather presumptuous of us, don't you think, to think that I know what to do with this body better than my Creator. And so the blessing that he's offering is, give it to me. I know what I'm doing with it. I know what I'm doing with it. You only think you know what you're doing with it. So stewardship is about giving God our bodies, not just our time, our talent, and our treasures, but it's about giving him our bodies to use as he intended for them to be used, as he designed them to be used. And the result of that is a blessing that is far bigger than anything we could give him. So I just tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for establishing and for expanding and for enriching my trust in you. My trust in you as the life that I most desire each day. Because that's what he is, and that's what he's offering us. He's offering us himself as the life to be enjoyed. And as we surrender our bodies to him, we experience life as he intended for it to be experienced. So I say, Lord, you are the life that I most want to enjoy today. I've got other delights, but you are my supreme delight. You are the life that I want to enjoy. You are the life that I want to experience. You are the life I want to explore, like this adventure, and you are the life I want to express. So here is my body. Here is my body. I am joined to you. You see, the difference between the old and the new is relational. It says that we were raised to be joined with him, not to follow a program, not to follow precepts, not to follow rituals, not to follow a code of ethics or moral imperatives. That was the old covenant. Under the new covenant, we've been called to something else, to be joined to him. Thank God. Every time, I know, increasingly as the days go by, as I look through the scriptures, I see relationship everywhere. You know, in real estate, they say it's all about location, location, location. But as the Lord has blessed me to get to know him better, I am looking at the scripture, and everywhere I look, I see relationship, relationship, relationship. That's what it's about. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new, is God wanted to put a new spirit in us so we could have a relationship with him that was like the one David expressed, and to enjoy him. So what in the world are we giving him? We're giving him these old rickety, broke down bodies. And what he's giving us is his life and the knowledge of him and his wisdom and the use of these bodies as they were intended to be used. That, to me, is just amazing. And then it says this, and this is the third and final point I want to make. It says that as we present our bodies, it says we do this so that we bear fruit for God. We bear fruit for God. You know, in the Friday Just a Moment piece I wrote, I pointed out how as the relationship with Christ grows, so does the bearing of fruit. The relationship produces the fruit. And I said, trying to produce fruit for God without the relationship is like trying to grow grapes without a vine. On the other hand, as we focus on the relationship, the fruit begins to show up naturally. Or I should say supernaturally, not always instantly and not always consistently. We go left and we go right and we go back, but ever forward from glory to glory, the scripture says. It's not, as my daughter says, a straight line to God, but as the relationship develops, the fruit becomes more prolific and more consistent and more delightful. And the relationship becomes richer, and we're not working so hard on trying to do the right thing or stop doing the wrong thing. We're bearing fruit for God that's coming from the relationship, which serves as the vine that nourishes the fruit, and the fruit is God's fruit, and he's pleased with it. As our connection with him is nourished, we bear more and more fruit. So that's just one illustration there of the difference between religion and a relationship with Christ. Let me say this about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit doesn't necessarily mean a bigger orchard. Doesn't mean that you're going to be, your name is going to be up in lights, you're going to be reaching millions of people. That's not important to God. God can do that himself. What's important is that we be connected to him, bearing the fruit that he intended our lives to bear. It doesn't necessarily mean bigger and more glamorous. It may very well mean bearing more fruit for your family or your friends or that next door neighbor. As it says, it's fruit for God. We're bearing fruit for God, not fruit for ourselves, not fruit for somebody else to impress them. We're bearing fruit for God. It's His fruit. It's His fruit to share as He pleases. Our job is to bear it by growing in our relationship with Christ. It's His job to determine where to share it. We bear it, He shares it. So I've been praying for you, Valley Brook and friends. I've been praying that our faith would be, I was thinking about these two words, effective and effective. And I've been praying that as I've been thinking about bearing fruit for God, I've been praying that our faith would be both effective with an A and effective with an E. And according to one explanation of the difference between the two, words, usually something affects something to produce an effect, is how they put it. Something affects something to produce an effect. The warmth of the sun, I was thinking about this as an example, the warmth of the sun affects the snow in a way that results in the effect of melting. So I am praying that the awareness of this relationship that we have with the living God, of being joined to Him, and the magnificence of that realization, the awesomeness of that realization, the ongoing revelation from above of that union, that it would produce in us an effect of various things, that it would produce for us a wide array of effects that surprise us. That the effect of God's affection for us and our relationship with Him would produce a wide array of effects. Anthesis, we call it at Valley Brook, which is when spring is fully blooming. Anthesis, I pray, in service, in serving one another, that would be one of the effects of being affected by our union with Christ. Anthesis in our love for one another, that would be one. And anthesis in helping one another experience the fullness of Christ. You know, 3 years ago, I wrote these words, and they're just as true and especially poignant today, and I'm ending with this. I wrote this 3 years ago, and they are especially, I think, relevant today in the midst of this pandemic and all these other issues that we're facing and that are literally rocking our country every day. I mean, our country and our world is just going crazy. And so I wrote these words three years ago, and I want to share them with you in closing. Context makes all the difference. For example, consider being blindfolded. What does it mean when you're blindfolded? What do you think of that? If you woke up and you were just blindfolded, what would it mean? How would you experience it? Without context, there's no way to determine it. It could mean you're being taken hostage, or it could mean you're being led to a surprise birthday party. Your experience depends on the context, how you experience being blindfolded. Whether there's joy, whether there's terror, depends upon the context. Faith in Christ gives us context for these times. It says we live by faith, not by sight. So though our physical eyes are wide open to what's happening around us, we see the news, we hear what's going on, we're blindfolded to where the present events are taking us. We don't know where this is going. Nobody knows where this is going. And if anybody says they know, they're simply not telling the truth. And nobody can control this thing. No human being can control this thing. So we're blindfolded to where the present events are taking us. The Lord is the only one who can see the future. He is with us. His arms are firmly on our shoulders as we're blindfolded to the future. His arms are firmly on our shoulders, guiding us as he whispers in our ears daily encouragement to trust him for what we cannot see. He is leading us to the future and the plans that he has prepared for us. Now, context doesn't necessarily make everything pleasant, because the Lord said, we're going to go through some tribulation in this life. Yes, I've got you, but we're going to go through some rough waters, and we're going to go through some hard times. And being blindfolded is never comfortable. But the context of faith, knowing he is with us, helps us to better deal with the discomfort. It leads us to rest. It leads us to peace. When we listen to the promises of the Lord who holds us in his arms, it changes the way we experience the darkness. It changes the way we experience the uncertain future. And Romans puts it this way, for I am convinced, no matter what the future holds, I am convinced no matter what I don't see, I am convinced no matter how turbulent it looks, how ugly it looks, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, as shrouded and as clouded as it may be, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's got us. He's got us. His loving, affectionate, tender, massaging arms around us. And the context of faith reassures us that no matter what the future may be, it does not hold anything for us that is more powerful than the love of God. And the more that we appreciate our belongingness to him, the more we appreciate his love and his affection and being joined to him, the more we recognize that we've died to the law. We don't have to perform anymore. The law doesn't have any jurisdiction over us anymore. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ now, a loving, reassuring relationship with him. And as we invest in that relationship, as you listen to Pastor Dan talk about it week after week and write about it week after week, as you take time and you say, Lord, help me to absorb this thing, because it is the Lord who helps us to absorb it, brothers and sisters. It's not what I say, it's what he reveals. So, Lord, you reveal that to me. Help me to day by day grasp your unchanging affection for me, that I'm joined to you in a loving relationship, that I'm not on a performance mode anymore. And as that happens, Lord, let the fruit that I bear be fruit for you. The more we appreciate our belongingness, the more fruit we will bear for the one to whom we belong. And that's all I want to say. Our time is up. Remember, that's where the fruit comes from. You have died to the jurisdiction of the law. You've been joined to him who's been raised from the dead so that you can bear fruit, the fruit God designed you to bear as a result of abiding in that relationship. We're going to have a worship selection afterwards. I think it's the Barnes family. I think it's Ronnie is doing a song afterwards. If not, forgive me for whoever you are. But right after our worship selection at 12:15, we will be having our confirmation vote. So let's go ahead and pray and thank God for this time we've had together. And hopefully the broadcast was flawless, or at least not too distracting. Lord, thank you for revealing the gospel to us. Thank you for coming to earth and dying so that we could identify with your death and be raised to a new life in you. a life in which we are joined in a relationship with you that gets better as the days go by and as the years pass. A relationship that takes us from glory to glory. And Lord, as a result of that relationship, we bear fruit. We love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We grow in our loving our neighbor as ourselves. And all of the things that the law prompted us to do, we find ourselves bearing as fruit. What a marvelous plan. What an amazing God you are. Why would we even think twice about presenting to you not just our time, our talent, and our treasures, but our very bodies to you, you who died to redeem it and who knows exactly what it's supposed to do and how it's supposed to do it. Give us faith, give us hope, give us joy. Most of all, give us trust in your Holy Spirit as we move forward from this day. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. And may God take these words and make your week a fabulous adventure with him.